make sure you get the right one. I don't want him drinking out of my cup. We had an interesting day. If you remember this morning in the bulletin, we were scheduled to go to Via Sorrento Nursing Home this afternoon. We went. We did the music, but it wasn't our week to be there. That's all right. Someone else was there. They preached. Their music people didn't show up, so we did the music, and we had a great time. Yeah, it must have been the bulletin's fault. But we went because it told us to, so. Did you notice anything interesting this morning? I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 visitor cards this morning. I didn't hear that? Amen. There we go. Got to make sure. Are you awake, Lauren? This is Lauren and Amy. I've met Amy once. And I've met Lauren a few times. Lauren got to wear a burgundy shirt all last week up in Carpinteria with us. She came up and helped do Vacation Bible School. And she's been around 5 years on and off in our lives. She lived with our daughter for 4 years. So she's a student at Azusa Pacific. Can't tell you much about Amy. I've only met her once. Actually, twice, because we met again today, right? Huh? Senior in high school. Okay. Tonight, how to back up. That way I can see everybody. Jim's trying to balance the load on that side, so he's got me confused. Becoming best friends with God. How many of you have a best friend? You better raise your hand, Don. I saw Alma pull her fist up like this, and actually she's handing him a Bible, but better have a best friend. But what about God being our best friend? You ever thought about that? God's our creator. He's the sustainer of life. He gives us every breath that we take. He's the master, the judge, the redeemer, Father, and our Savior. And you know, I love Genesis, and I love to teach Genesis. And when we start Kids Club in September, we're going to start in the beginning. And wouldn't it have been great to have been Adam and Eve and be able to walk in the garden with God? You ever thought about that, what it would be like to walk and be in conversation with the Creator? Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word tonight, Lord, I just pray that you will help us to draw from your word something that we can apply to our lives, that we can take away from here tonight. Lord, just being renewed because we've been in your house and in the presence, in your presence with fellow believers. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon our time this evening, and these things we pray in your name. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 5. I actually started in verse 5 and then did a backwards turn, so we're going to start in verse 1. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That having been justified is a one-time event. Jeremy was asking today what the difference between us and another religion is, and some other religions believe that every time you sin, you got to get saved all over again. But we know that it's a one-time event, that when we ask Christ to be our Lord and Savior, He comes in to save us once for all. And this having been justified is a one-time event through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access. Who do we have access to? We've got access to God through Jesus Christ by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we stand in a secure position that no one can take us away from the Father. We cannot lose our salvation. We cannot sin and lose anything that God has given us. And so we can stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And we talked about that months ago when we started in James. There's things that are going to come along that are going to test us. We're going to have trials. You don't have any trials in your life? You must not be doing anything for God. The more you want to do for God, the more trouble Satan and his evil ones are going to throw your way. But you know what? Going through those produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God was poured out. God's love poured out so much to us that it just overflows. It should be overflowing in our lives. Our lives should be so evident of Christ's love in us that everyone that we meet knows there's something different about us. The guys on the street in Carpinteria should know there's something different about us than what they have. It was hilarious watching these guys during rehearsal for Vacation Bible School. We do a run through every day. The gangbangers are standing on the corner or sitting on the tailgate of their old beat up El Camino watching us. And if you would glance over their way, they'd turn their heads like, those people are weird. But you know what? We can have a good time because of what Christ did for us on the cross and His love for us. It says, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Wow. By the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Should be testimony of God's great love for us. Our best friend should be God. We should be in such a close relationship with Him that pouring out spills over into every avenue of our life with everyone that we meet. I got to tell you, it was interesting today at the nursing home, Don. We had a discussion afterwards because the man who was speaking is a layperson and he believes or he's hoping that his pastor's cat goes to heaven. And it was an interesting discussion on the way home, wasn't it, Jeremy? We figured out cats don't go to heaven because cats don't have a soul. Cats can't get saved. And as we talked about this morning, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. He didn't say he's going to take our cats. Now he could, if he chose to. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But I'm not holding my breath for cats to make it to heaven. Not at all. And if you know me very well, you know I don't hold my breath for cats to get to heaven. Or dogs. But, you know, People should see the love of God, should see our best friend pouring out all over. That's why we have 3 children in this church right now. They've been here 5 Sundays in a row because their father saw an outpouring of love at Family Sunday. And he said he wanted his children involved in that. I believe that's why there are 38 people in Sunday school. Do you realize? And I can say this, they're not here tonight. There were 8 junior hires in Sunday school this morning, 9 with the teacher, and as close as I can tell, there were only 2 that were saved out of that 9, the teacher and 1 other student. You know what? I don't even like junior hires. They're tough. Junior high students are tough. I can handle high schoolers because they're still afraid of me, but junior hires don't have this fear. But you know what's fun about that class? They ask questions that tell me they don't know my Lord and Savior. And they're looking. I don't know if you noticed this morning, but when the boys got up and left, so did 3 of the junior hires got up and left. And you know what? They don't know my Lord. They don't know the Savior. And guess what? They got in junior church this morning, junior hires and junior church. They heard the gospel. Because Susan shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. We're pretty sure that we had some others here this morning that didn't know Christ as their Savior. You know what? They should see that we're different. They should see that we're different. Verse 6 of chapter 5 of Romans says, "For when we were still without strength..." You ever had trouble with strength? All the time. Lauren, did I have any trouble with strength this week? I was dependent on little girls like her for a lot. I threw my back out last Saturday, and Monday and Tuesday, it was all I could do to even get out of bed. First thing she said when she saw me tonight wasn't hi. She said, "Did you go see your chiropractor?" And then she said hi, but I was. I had no strength the first few days this week. I think it's moving on Saturday that did that. But where does our strength come from? That word strength there, the literal translation is helpless. And I tell you what, when you're my size and you can't get out of bed, you feel pretty helpless. And at my age, I should be able to get out of bed. But you know what? Spiritually, sometimes, a few weeks ago, I'm sitting in my office on Sunday morning. I called Arizona because I felt spiritually weak. I'm like, I know it was Satan just attacking. I called a pastor friend of mine, and I actually got his wife because he was in his study getting ready for church. And I said, "Can you pray for me this morning before I get up to preach?" And they knew what time service was. And they said they had their whole church praying for us. Don't ask, I don't even know who was here. Well, yeah, it was. They were right here. There were 5 of them that didn't know Christ. 4 of them didn't know Christ as their Savior. And I tell you, when God sends them around, it changes everything that I do. My notes just kind of go off on the side because I want them to know who my Jesus is. When I don't have strength, I know who to call on. I call on my best friend. And he can give me that strength. In due time. How many of you remember where you were when you accepted Christ as your Savior? You know what? That was a chosen time for you. Not for anybody else, unless there was a whole group of you that got saved at one time. But God chose in due time the time that you would be saved. He appointed the time and the place. Coming again. What a cool song to sing tonight after we talked about the rapture of the church this morning. You know what? It may be morning. It may be noon. It may be evening, but in due time. And you know what it says here? In verse 6, the last part, that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for anyone that has not accepted Him. We're all born sinners. You know, it was funny. I was talking to some children the other day, and I said, nobody had to teach you how to sin, did they? You know, it's an interesting thing. They all knew that nobody taught them how to sin, but they were born sinners, because we're all born sinners. And Christ died for each one of us, because He died for the ungodly. That's what He came here to do. Because look at me. My wife can tell you, Jeremy can tell you, Lauren can tell you, that I'm not a lovable person sometimes. And before I was saved, I guarantee you, I wasn't any more lovable than I am now. But Christ died for me. And if I was the only person ever to accept Him, He would have still died for me on the cross. We talked about Noah in Sunday school this morning. How many people were saved? They had 100 years. To watch this crazy man build a big boat, 8 people were saved because they... And I don't know that his kids believe, but Dad said, get in the boat. 8 people were saved because of one righteous man. I was saved because God the Father sent His Son to die on the cross for me. An ungodly person. Yeah, I was at one time, Warren. She knows me as being all nice, huh? This young lady used to come to my office in El Monte during puppet practice to steal my candy. She has asked forgiveness of that, though. Huh? She probably has to ask Him continually to forgive her for things that she's doing. Huh? I do. But you know what? He loved me so much, and I've got a relationship with Him that I can do that. I can go to Him when I mess up and say, I did it again. I blew it again. Verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. I wasn't righteous, and I wasn't good. I was a sinner condemned to hell. But Christ died on the cross for me. And then verse 8, and we use this all the time when we're sharing the gospel, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much love did He share with us? He sent His Son to die on the cross to take my punishment, to take my penalty on the cross. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Much more. Through Christ's violent death on the cross, our sins were justified. If you go back to chapter 3, verse 24, it says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We were declared not guilty, just as if we had never sinned, if we accept what Christ did for us on the cross. Then in verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The Lord can keep us by his living power. Christ died on the cross, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day. He bore my sins on the cross. Now you say, I thought we were going to talk about God being our best friend. And how does this transcend to Christ being our best friend? Go to Matthew chapter 9. Verse 36. Yeah, let's go back up to 34. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the rulers of the demons. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. He was moved with compassion. When you're hurting and when you're down and you go to your best friend, what do they show you? That compassion. The love that you're looking for. Encouragement. And he moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered. God loves us so much that when we can't think, we don't think we can go another mile, all we've got to do is call on him. And he will strengthen us and lift us up. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying for more laborers. What a harvest field we have here. When you look around, there's 950 children across the street. How many of them do you think know Christ as their Savior? Man, we can be a light to the darkness around us. We've got the laborers. I tell you, in a few weeks, we're going to start a kids program. I'm excited. Are you excited, Priscilla? Yeah. Can't be here. You got to pray for us. I have no clue how many children are going to come through the doors. I'm inviting the junior hires. We originally were going to go up through sixth grade, but you know what? If those junior hires are hungry to hear the Word of God, I want them in here. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know what? My best friend can supply the laborers that we need. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. The love of Christ compels us. Why do we do what we do? Why do we meet together? Because of Christ's great love for us. And he died for all. And those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He died for all of us. He died for the people out there that don't even know it. He died for the people that haven't heard yet. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them. How should we live? We should be living for Him daily. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm glad my old self is gone, and I am a new creation because of what Christ did on the cross for me. Verse 18 says, Now of all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. God sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Verse 20 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians says, We are ambassadors for Christ. That's what we've been doing the last 2 months. Telling children about who Jesus Christ is through Vacation Bible School. That's why we meet together. I love it when unsaved people come into the church. It changes everything. And it changes how what we need to do on a Sunday morning service. Because I don't want anyone ever to walk in the door here and not know that Christ died for them, that He was buried, and that He rose again. And if they just believe that, they can be saved. Because what if God sends one person our way and I fail to do that? Or the Sunday school teacher fails to do that? Or whoever's teaching in Kids Club or VBO? We've met students this summer who said they've never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Now, how can we live in Southern California, churches on every street almost, and people not know who Jesus Christ is? Because some of the ambassadors are not telling them. I want to be counted as a faithful ambassador for Him. When He takes me home, or when the rapture happens and we all go together, I want to know that I finished the race and that I've done what I was supposed to do. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your great love for us. Father, I thank You for Your word. Lord, we just thank You for the opportunity we have to be called Your children. Father, that we can have a relationship with You, that You can be our best friend if we will just allow that. And that when we are weary and tired, that we can call on You and that You will give us the strength that we need to continue on. And Father, I just pray right now for this body that as we go out into the community, that Father, Your love will just pour out of us. That we cannot do this in our strength, but because of Your love, as Romans said, that You poured out Your love for us, that Father, we can show that to those that are around us. Father, I pray for the testimony of this church, for this building, that in this community it will be known as a church of loving, caring people who want to see the kingdom of God enhanced. And Father, that through the preaching and teaching of your word in the sanctuary and in our share with them the word of your that you've given us, and we pray this in your name. Amen.